Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We've been in conversation with our human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, about the value of having a mentor when we go through the transitions of one life stage to another. Lynn, welcome back. Tell us where we'll be heading this week.
Okay, mentoring. It involves finding someone who we admire and value and who's in line with our sense of purpose and our meaning, and engaging them in some regular conversations that inspire us and guide us in our future life choices. So this week, we're going to look at mentoring when we ourselves take on the role of guiding another person through their life stage. But ideally, I think we should both have a mentor and be a mentor.
Yes, yeah.
And it's during the midlife or the middle of the empty nest years that we're both challenged to be a mentor and a mentoree.
Yeah, which is where this conversation began a few weeks ago, and it's flowed so directly out of it. It's going to be useful, I reckon, to actually define what a mentor is and how mentoring might be different to another kind of, say, friendship or relationship, because
yeah,
it is different.
Yeah, well, mentoring needs to be defined because many people find that they've got lots of people in their lives that they use as role models, but the relationship is not one that's defined as a mentor. Now, Martin Robinson defines mentoring as falling under a number of characteristics, and I think it's helpful for us to go through them one by one.
Okay.
And there's so much to a mentoring relationship that we forget how important it is. And also, for those people who are in the empty nest stage, it's helpful to see the value of the empty nester as being part of the community, and particularly that with those people who are younger.
They've still got relevance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the first one, I think is important, is that in a mentor relationship has an intentionality in the relationship.
Okay.
That's that the relationship is one that has the intention of empowering and strengthening the other person. And it also means that the intention is to take them further and deeper in their own growth.
So what do you mean by intentionality? Is there a goal then in the mentoring relationship?
Well, yes, in some ways there's a goal, but in others it's actually being so intentional in the relationship that the mentor sees the mentoring role as one which is intentionally focused just on the mentoree.
Okay.
So one example that Martin Robinson gives is that there's a woman who has an altercation with the church leadership over what she perceives as a judgment call, and she seeks out people to talk to who support her viewpoint. And when she meets people with different views to her, she just dismisses the church altogether and moves on and eventually leaves the church. Now, Martin mentions the story because it's common for people to do this. And he sees it as a missed opportunity for her and for others around her to grow. If she was in an intentional mentoring relationship, she would have a mentor whose sole intention was to see how she could grow through the situation.
Okay.
Or the crisis, and to examine her response and her reaction and her behaviour in line with where God was calling her. Now, she may still leave the church and go somewhere else, but we don't know what she would do, but the mentoring relationship would actually help her to have an intentionality in that growth through the crisis.
Yep.
Now, as for people who are in the empty nest stage, to be in the mentoring role involves being intentionally focused on another's growth in the midst of crisis or just life in general. And in doing this intentional role, the empty nester is able to see how they also are valued and that the skills that they've learnt during child raising has actually helped them to be ready for helping people with their Christian growth. From my perspective, I can see how people helping another person during their crisis with an intention of helping them to grow through the crisis only helps the mentor themselves to grow as well.
I'm sure that's true. So intentionality is one of the characteristics of mentoring. There must be other.
Yes. Secondly, the mentoring relationship is one of empowering. So it has the purpose of helping another person to feel stronger, to feel backed up or being backed,
yep,
or helping them to think laterally about a situation and feeling allowed to do so. So it doesn't mean that they're overly positive and sickly nice to them, but it does actually mean that helping them to think outside the square of a situation. This is what the mentoring role is perfect for, because the mentor is one who is older and apparently more worldly wise than the other, and they have insight which may be different. So the role of empowering another person may be to give them a little bit more of a bird's eye view of themselves.
Yes.
Or to share what they see to see the potential for themselves in the situation. And empowering also means they feel believed in. They feel that they're special and they matter to another person. And what they do is important and significant.
Yes. So we have intentionality, empowerment in mentoring roles. What else do you reckon?
Now, thirdly, mentor roles are unique to every person. So the formula of how you relate is not the same and should not be compared or set up in some sort of terribly fixed structure.
Formula, yeah.
No, it's by dealing with the other person as an individual with unique circumstances that sets up the role. But you can see that this is a bit like counselling. In a counselling relationship. And the counselling is also intentional and is very unique to each individual. But what sets the mentoring role apart from counselling is the relationship.
Yes.
Now, counselling is a one-way relationship. Mentoring is a two-way relationship. And this means there's a dual exchange of lives. So the mentor lives their life as transparent as possible and is ready to be watched. So it also means that there's the friendship that it develops, where one person takes the lead by helping the other to go deeper. And there are many situations which I'm seeing more and more where people find themselves get hurt by another person and they just choose to cut off from them.
Yeah.
So either taking them off Facebook or ignoring them or just going somewhere else so they don't have to see them.
Yes.
It's more and more acceptable to do this, and often you hear that advice given. If the relationship doesn't suit you, just move on. So sadly, what's missed in that is the valuable developmental task of going deeper and reaching forgiveness or being vulnerable and reaching out to another. And that vulnerability then helps us to grow. But notice here that the role of being a mentor not only helps the mentee or mentoree, but also challenges the mentor to be accountable in his or her own growth and also in their own vulnerability.
Do you know what comes to my mind? I think it seems like a understandably big job, and I'm sure lots of people get to the stage of being an empty nester and feel that they're a bit overdoing things for others. Am I being too hard?
No, that's exactly what you hear a lot of.
Yeah.
But I think what happens, it's interesting, the role of being a parent and looking after kids, it's significant and it gives a great deal of significance to people, so that when the kids leave, they often feel less significant. And that's what causes the grief of empty nesters. The interesting thing is that many people who manage the stage really well are actually doing the very things that we're talking about right now.
Yes.
They are breathing life into other people and they see their purposes in giving to other people. So, in fact, the stage of raising kids is really just a training ground for their continual work of helping other people.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I always used to think, I'll get my kids to the end of high school and that's it.
No.
Life's a continual lesson, let me just put it that way.
But the psychological studies that look at mentoring continually show that the benefits of mentoring are in the mentor as well as the mentoree.
Okay.
And both people grow through the stages and the relationship.
Yes.
But what's interesting, as we talked about last week, is this continuity theory. I always like this theory. It says we feel most comfortable when we can see our role in society and have people older than us and younger than us as we navigate through our lives. And it helps us to feel that we're on some sort of continuum.
Hmm.
So when there's an empty nest, there is the fear that it's all over. And the role of mentoring gives us a sense of natural purpose in the world where we can give what we've actually learnt. It sort of completes the continuity theory.
And notwithstanding the fact that you have given a lot, there is some space available where it might not have been there 5 or 10 years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. In psychology, we look for patterns of behaviour and we try and seek to purposefully copy the patterns that work to evoke the change we want in our lives. So the Bible outlines many patterns with people, and it's seen in the Old Testament stories and parables that Jesus tells, and they highlight patterns of human behaviour that we need to be alerted to. And when we can see these patterns, we can change them. So the Bible's got many mentoring relationships that help us to see how we can work. Samuel had a mentor in Eli. Samuel and Saul were Samuel was a mentor to Saul. Samuel and David. David and Jonathan. Elijah and Elisha. Barnabas and John Mark. Paul and Timothy.
Yes.
Many, many more.
Yeah.
And we've also the role of mentors of that Jesus does with his disciples.
Yeah.
He mentors incredibly well for us.
So let me ask this. Is Christian mentoring different to that of a secular mentor?
I think so. But perhaps in the intention of personal and spiritual growth in the other. Mentoring involves promoting and building on the strengths of another.
Yeah.
It's not a discipline or a judgmental place. It can be seen in mentor roles in organizations that are not Christians. But as Christian mentors, I see that mentors become a source of the work of God's Spirit. That is, they don't seek to reproduce themselves, but they seek God's spiritual directions in the life of the mentoree.
Yeah.
So in a sense, the relationship seeks to see how God's Spirit works in the mentoree's life. It's about the mentoree and God, not what the mentor thinks they should do.
No, that's a very good point to make. So it's important. Let me ask this. Should it be organised, or is it something that happens organically, or a bit of both, do you reckon?
Well, it depends on your confidence with other and your ability to seek other people out. There are organised mentoring schemes, either in churches or communities, and there are several checks that need to be made, such as working with children's check and sometimes yes. training to help with the relationship building and setting boundaries and so on. And it's helpful if you're not as confident in setting up those yourself. But if you're not in an organisation that does this and there are younger adults who you want to mentor, ask them and explore what that would mean for both of you. It's good to get a book, and I can recommend two books for this, Mentoring by John Mallison and Mentoring Matters by Rick Lewis.
Because we can't assume we can just drift into this, making it up along the way.
No, no.
And these are wise guys who've gone before.
Yes, yes. Look, both of those books are very, very good, and they give you sort of goals and help you to establish boundaries and some sort of formats for meeting together.
Yeah.
But there are also organisations such as the Australian Youth Mentoring Association that okay. runs conferences, they conduct research, and they help participants to be involved in helping other people. You can also volunteer for Big Brother or Big Sister programs.
Yep.
They run all over the world, or they even take on the role of mentoring a young person who's in detention. Shine for Kids is a mentoring program for children of prisoners. Shine for Kids extends the benefits of mentoring in a program for young people who are transitioning from juvenile justice into the community.
What a valuable role that would be.
Look, young people leaving the juvenile justice system, they're often at risk of reoffending, and yes. studies have shown that its incidence is dependent on the degree of support that they receive when they leave the centre.
Heard that before.
So Shine for Kids aims to reduce that recidivism rates for young offenders by linking them with detainees, with a mentor to assist them through the transitional period. Now, Frank Baxter Juvenile Justice Centre in New South Wales near Gosford, they accommodate up to 120 young men between 16 and 21, and they also have a mentor program that runs there. You can also do a mentoring program with adults in prison, and we talked about that a bit tonight on the station.
Yes.
And you can visit them regularly. Look, there's just so much to be done, Lee, and so many people need to have intentional, positive relationships, and there are many opportunities to use the skills that are learnt in the nest, beyond the nest.
Yep.
And I think we've got a challenge. I think we should have a rebadging situation here where we can actually rebadge the term empty nest and call it beyond the nest.
Fly the coop.
Yes.
Don't fly the coop.
Fly the coop could be another one.
Yeah, yeah.
There's more to come from here.
I think it's been, as always, very useful conversation to explore both empty nesters and mentoring. We're on a couple of weeks break from tonight with our mid-year best of open house. So we will see you next, Lynn Worsley, Sunday, 14th of July. Look forward to seeing you then.
Thanks, Lee.
Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.